Welcome in, everybody. It is Inside the Gamecocks, the show. Here we are. I am Phil Mad Dog Mullinax. He is JC Sherbert. It is Wide Open Wednesday, and glad to see everything's all right on your end, JC. Nothing too crazy happened yesterday, but welcome back, man. We're happy to have you here.
It was a crazy day, and I was sitting here, you know, I was going to be a little late for the show because I had something I had to deal with that popped up at like 4 minutes till showtime. It was going to take me 10 minutes. All of a sudden, my phone goes off. And it's an alert. It's a tornado warning. Not a watch. Yeah. A watch, I wouldn't have cared. Warning for an hour. Like it was 10:15 my time. And it was till 11:15. So I was like, okay. So I got the turtle inside. Took the dog down to the basement. Then it got really dark and then the power went out.
Yeah, those videos where everything is like pitch black. Dude, this is eerie, like, dude.
It's a little scary. My mother-in-law's power finally came back on this morning.
Nice.
Mine came on last night, but the Studio North, I had to go. It fried. I keep having to get these wires, plugs for my computer. It fried the plug because I went to plug back in because I had to move my desk and everything to get to the power outlet that works. So I'm adjacent to another room. I got a cord running in there. I went and I had a pretty nice surge compressor for all this stuff. And I plugged it in, started sparking and smoking. And I was like, oh my God. So I had to get rid of that. So no coffee this morning, by the way. And I apologize for that. I hate to not be consistent with it, but I'll make it up with a bonus pod at some point. Be back tomorrow, but yeah, all's well. And today's thunderstorm. What thunder? I mean, you know, maybe my southern butt just doesn't get it. How the heck severe thunderstorm come rolling through it at 10 a.m.?
That's odd.
It's weird.
It really is.
Weird.
It's like
10 a.m.
I mean, you know, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock around here, you're like, oh, it's about time for rain.
Yeah. It sounds like afternoon. All right, so it's Wide Open Wednesday. We're a little late getting started with the show portion. So, dude, we're just going to jump in the chat box.
Yeah, let's dive right in.
Dive in. Ethan, a regular chat boxer on Wednesdays. Speaking of the Titanic, that A&M game felt like we hit an iceberg. You know, that one didn't bother me. What that game did was snatch every last bit of hope that I had for my body.
That, right.
Because they won that one and then beating Coastal the next week, then you're playing Clemson to go to a bowl. You could salvage the season. The one that bothered me the most outside of Vanderbilt for a number of reasons was Alabama. Because you beat Alabama. Alabama won some big – they had a lot more quality wins than anybody last year. They were not a flawless team. You hold on to win that one. Everybody tears down the goalpost or whatever. Okay. Well, that make, you know, okay, they're back. You know, it's not as bad. This team is capable. They just screwed around, whatever. And they had it. Mm-hmm. And they lost it. You know, and you got to give Alabama credit. Ty Simpson, winner, you know.
Right.
Driving them down the field like that to tie the game. Great play calling. The fumble, it's on Carolina. You know, it's on Carolina. But, that one's what got me where I was just like, this season's not going to be good. You know, and Ethan goes on to say that A&M game felt like we hit an iceberg and the police officer was actually Billy Zane. If I were casting that A&M cop in a show, in a movie, I'd probably not Billy Zane now.
No, yeah.
Billy Zane played Marlon Brando in this movie. It was miniseries or something. It was really good. But yeah, that's who I would do it. Michael says, Nolan, hey, thinks Darius Gray is going to be a star. Yeah, a lot of people do. It's almost like you hate to hype a guy like that after 4 days, but we got it from inside on the Big Spur and the Insiders Forum. I dropped a little nugget the other day, and then everybody's talking about it all of a sudden. Cockwheat says the only guy that laid hands on Nick and that play at A&M was Walker, Texas Ranger. Don't insult Walker, Texas Ranger.
Yeah, Chuck Norris, they could have messed him up. That guy wasn't going to do nothing.
Chaco mentioned Xavier Leggett took a while to get going. That game-winning catch against Vanderbilt did it for him. Yeah, and then the seven-catch game, the game he had against Notre Dame in the Gator Bowl, too. Because in 2022, Carolina had a lot of older good receivers. I mean, Jalen Brooks, Josh Van, Juice Wells. X was in there. I mean, I started noticing in 2022, Phil, Xavier would catch, like he'd have one ridiculous catch all, like a day, like a game. And you go, wow, even when the offense was struggling. Krager says Julio Jones is one of the artist workers as well in college. Yeah, him and AJ Green were something else. Luke says, interesting to see tight end Mo Brown is on JB's freaks list too. And Luke had asked earlier if there's a Josh Simon on this team. Yeah, Mo, now his position is listed on the freaks list as demon for special teams. He's the third team tight end. Is there a Josh Simon? I don't know. I don't know that Josh Simon was really good.
Yeah. Yeah, he real.
Mm-hmm. No. Could Brady Hunt be really good in his own way? Yeah. Does Mike Tyler have a skill set that could get that? Yeah. But there's going to be more receivers on the field, more receivers getting touches too. And this was, keep that in mind. I think with some of these condensed formation offenses, the tight end is probably a little more important than here. Ethan says, with some guys, it clicks immediately. Some guys need time to develop. Absolutely. Ethan says, Beamer doesn't have any more time for development. It has to, all has to click this year. Yeah, but that's a team. That's not individuals. Doc says coaching stability plays a factor as well. The system has been changing often. Yeah, Doc, with this one too, though, yeah, the system had to change. Had to. But it has. And I think that threw him off last year. I think if Dowell Loggins had returned as the OC and they just kind of kept doing what they were doing and mastered it a little bit, probably would have been a little bit different outcome on offense. I don't know that team gets to seven or eight wins. I'll say it because of what everybody else did, which is important. But we'll see. USC Campy, good afternoon, gentlemen. Good afternoon, sir. Mack Lee Green. Then when the DB rolls to double Nick, then there's one of those other good receivers we have, weapons. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, options.
Yeah,
I think that's what fall camp or preseason camp, sorry, is not necessarily to determine. Like when you hear a report from us about preseason camp, we don't know, and nobody knows, not even the coaches, like how that's going to turn out in the games. Like that doesn't, if you hear like a bunch of guys are doing well, yeah, they're doing well in practice. So games are a different thing. But what it is doing is setting the table, so to speak. Like you're not eating the meal, you're setting the table. And sometimes, man, if you don't set the table, you're not going to have a good meal.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You don't have the good ingredients. And, you know, I think that when you look at it, what you're wanting to do is find place settings. You know, you want to have that complete play. You know, that's what you want to do. And the more of those you have, the good teams that in the past that I've seen, both at South Carolina and elsewhere, have different options. Some good teams at South Carolina, though, have not had. I mean, they've had a few guys. I don't know what's going to happen this year. And chances are every single player that creates some practice buzz will not take it to the games. And, you know, you like the receivers. There's 14 guys, and you like them all, right? And they're all motivated. I think, though, realistically, no matter who they are, if they can find four or five that can go out there and give you production every single time and make plays every single time, that's a win, you know. And – with a deep room like that full of good recruits, you're going to have some reaction that's like, well, why isn't this guy as good? This guy just must not be that good. Well, maybe not, but that's just kind of how it happens.
Yeah, it's the assumption is it was like, well, he's not playing well. It was like, well, I mean, he might be playing really well and might be doing better than he was last year, but the guy that you're seeing on the field is playing better than even that.
Yeah. Ethan says if Harbor can perfect his route running, it would be a top 10 pick. Yeah, it's a work in progress. I don't know. I was talking to somebody on the Insiders Forum, and they said, well, he needs to expand his route tree and be able to do this. And he listed all these things. I said, I don't see him doing that. I don't see him being like, you know, a master of route running, like Jerry Rice or Michael Irvin.
Right, yeah.
But I do think he can add to it, right? He's just not – I mean, here's what I don't think he is. He's not like some of the name receivers you've seen here through the years. Like you could throw Sidney, Alshon, whoever. You can do anything you want with those guys, Brian Edwards. I don't know that. I think there are certain things that maybe are not strengths of Nick's, but then there's certain things where he's elite. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, Michael says Shula worked the whole offensive season on the first drive, then had no clue what to do next. Yeah, I think too. That's an NFL thing, you know. Opening scripted is beautiful, and then after that, it's like, well, let's just wait till the third quarter when we can trick them again. Mike Morgan was at the Braves game last night. Yes, he was. So, Cockwheat, y'all need to work in a even taggers to the next ad you cut. Yeah, I found it's on the Big Spur, at the Big Spur on 3X account and the Inside the Gamecocks Facebook account. I found the Brad Scott candy ketchup. And I've been saying this ain't no candy ketchup. He doesn't say that. I had the line wrong. It's this isn't some or something like that. This isn't some candy ketchup. It's good on eggs. I was like, I don't know that I come out the chute with ketchup on my eggs. I know some people like it.
I start with fries is probably where.
Then he went hot dogs second and then burgers. Right. Even tigers. Wow.
Right. There's two things on that list that I just refuse to put ketchup on, period.
It's illegal to put ketchup on a hot dog in Chicago.
As it should be.
They'll fine you.
As it should be.
Oh, Ethan says, I think Judge Collier is due for a big year. He's interesting. He's talking to the media today. You know, his year last year obviously did not go as well as he wanted to. The secondary was fine because Brandon Cisse ended up being a stud and Swain played really well. But he's not like George Wilson in the sense that, you know, I think George was probably going to be a situational pass rusher last year, and that's probably what he's going to be this year.
Right.
The Judge was supposed to be a starter and a stud because he started in 24 and was more than solid for a first year starter. So if he can kind of approach the expectations he had heading into last year, he could be pretty good. Mm-hmm. Men's basketball. Ooh, shoot, buddy. I was on the game thread.
I know. I saw that. I was reading some of those. Yeah.
And Matt had a conference all week. He'll be back. I think Juan Fernandez on the men's basketball team could be really good. He looks like an NBA player, just needs to play his game. He and the other guy, Hugo Lopez. So Hugo Lopez, from what everybody says, is like a high energy. All right, so Hugo Lopez, I expected to play a lot like Nakos. Was that his name? Nakos?
Mm-hmm.
Jakob Nakos?
That's what maybe it's Nakos.
The Duquesne transfer.
Yeah, from Duquesne.
So that guy gets after it. Like, he gets after it. And Alexis Belanaskis.
I think you're putting an N in there that doesn't exist. Hold on.
Belioskis.
Yeah.
Alexis Belioskis, AB. That dude's a competitor. He's out there talking smack. He makes a bad play and he does this, that, and the other. I kind of expected Hugo Lopez to be that guy. And then I expected like high energy, and it just looked like Fernandez and Lopez maybe just had dead legs to me. Both games. Which is a good thing if you're a Carolina fan, because chances are they're not gonna play that. They won't be that way once it gets, you know, it's an exhibition. And I don't, the announcers were talking to about Lamont Paris and they were like, well, he's doing a little different than Calipari or McMillan, because A&M and Arkansas were there. You know, those guys kind of treated it like a game. And he's like, you know, Lamont's just substituting liberally. And he was, it was like ASU soccer.
Right. Yeah.
You know, Blake says when Shula lined up in 22 personnel with Mo Brown in the backfield, I thought we were going to win a natty. Yeah, me and Phil did too.
Yeah.
Viajak said Noah Clark could play offensive line. He was offered P5 offers as an O-line. Yeah, I didn't want to insult him and move him to the offensive line as a fullback.
Yeah, right.
But he could play.
Just because he's big. Yeah, right.
V. Jack says Tristan Lewis, Kazi Barnes could play receiver. Absolutely, they could.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Kendall Daniels, Blake said. Eric Reese says played Zach against Zach Pickens in high school. Hannah played him at running back and he was so fast. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, Zach. Yeah. I mean, third round pick, you know, got drafted by the Bears. Obviously, good player. Could he have been, did he maybe have a higher ceiling than that? Yeah, he's a five-star guy. I don't know that he, so what, third round would be a top 75 player in the country.
Right.
Projection-wise. Ethan says Fuller could play safety. Yeah, or a linebacker. So, well, we were talking about who could play other positions. Cam says Neff Gwa was brought in to toss Matt Fuller over the line of scrimmage. You may have to get Lex Cyrus to toss him or something. I don't know. Who's a littler guy?
Yeah.
Colin says Joyner and the Wildcat was nightmare fuel. Yeah, they maybe should have done it all year, though. Let him throw like they did in the bowl.
Right.
Yeah. Luke says, I'm all for letting Lenore Sellers getting all the touchdown stats when using the tush push. He's big enough and strong enough to run that play himself. Sellers needs those stats. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Kendall Briles,
if you're center exchange, that scares me.
Yeah,
it's not his thing.
Oh, I thought it's like heck. They snapped it to Brady Hunt last year. That thing, I can see that thing coming back. Mm-hmm. If you look at Josh Hoover's stats, you know he's not a runner at all, cement shoe guy.
Mm-hmm.
But every year he had like between 4 and 6 rushing touchdowns, if I'm not mistaken, at TCU. Because and what does that tell me? It tells me Briles likes to run the quarterback in the red zone.
That's right.
Which I think is smart. Mm-hmm. If you got a guy like that, I mean, you don't want to have to tackle Lenora Sellers near the goal line.
No,
I mean, you can't just run him up the middle.
Right. Yeah. If he's running around the edge, yeah, that's not. Yeah. There will be business decisions made that day.
Yeah. Bruin says, just when we're destined to go 16-0, y'all remind us that we're going to do some dumb stuff and lose 5 games. Thanks, guys.
Just tempering expectations, Bruin. Just tempering expectations.
Morgan says, do we leave Sellers in to pad the stats this year or let Cutter get some run? Well, they're not going to leave him in to pad the stats. He's too valuable.
Yeah, you're hoping his effectiveness in the first half is enough to pad the stats enough to get the national attention.
Yeah, usually, man, if you're like up a lot at halftime, your starter will go out there for the first series and then you empty the bench.
See how it goes. Yeah.
Yeah. But I do think, ideally, Cutter Woods plays a lot the first 2 games and Landon Duckworth and Lucian Anderson.
Yeah, something tells me they'll handle that doing the, and you get a drive and you get a drive. And, yeah, handing out drives like Oprah.
Yeah, no doubt. Deputy Smitty, he'll join us tomorrow, by the way.
That's right.
We have big leads. We must get Cutter in. I want to see Cutter in the game, second possession of the first game when we're up 31. Yeah, I mean, I'm with you there, brother. And he's had a good – they're excited. Kendall Briles likes him a lot. So, Ghost Flame says he doesn't mind a Wildcat package. Just throw the damn ball some so that he has to be honest.
Yeah.
Then he says, Neff at tight end or fullback with a brief delay and a jump pass from Lenore Sellers for the touchdown. I don't know, man. Listening to Shane Beamer talk about him playing special teams.
My gut told me, I'm like, dude, he knows more than that. We are playing this up here. This is Beamer playing this up. I get it. He has zero experience on a football field, but he knows what a kickoff is. Come on.
Yeah.
Don't call my man out like that on his intelligence. He knows what to
get. No doubt. All right, so it's 12:34. We got 26 minutes to go here on Wide Open Wednesday on Inside the Gamecocks, the show. T-Far is back. He's back in Club Chief. Welcome back. Quantrell does mention Sequel Patterson could play corner and be elite. Agreed.
Yeah.
But anyway, we will encourage everybody to go to Gamecock Traditions, GamecockTraditions.com. Lots of the Nike stuff. Today's the day to get the deal at these wings as well. 18 wings, pitcher beer, $29. Also, want to give a shout out to our friends at 5 Points Social. Their grand opening is this weekend in 5 Points. It's the old Cotton Gin. When me and Phil were younger men, it was the Knock Knock Club.
Knock.
but it's nice. You know some of the people involved with that. They're all some of my dear friends. But they also do stuff like this, like nobody else, like no other. And, it's right there in 5 points. It's the sign, the 5 point sign. They're going to do a lot with that. And so I'm just super excited for those guys. And go follow them on social media, 5 point social. It's the number 5 point social. They got merch. Looks pretty fly. I'm going to order some. And we encourage everybody to check them out. They're also gigantic Gamecock fans. So huge. This is a Gamecock, definitely a Gamecock owned and operated business. And just wish them the best. Wish I could get down there for that. I think JB's going. All right, Inside the Gamecocks, the show on a Wide Open Wednesday continues after this.
Welcome back, everybody. Inside the Gamecocks, the show, Wide Open Wednesday. We are rolling through the chat box. JC Sherbert, Phil, Mad Dog Mullinax in here with you on the show. I was just sitting here looking here, JC. It was something that is funny, but my goodness, y'all are pounding away on those keyboards. Appreciate that. In the chat box, because I'm getting it's so long.
Oh my god. All right, so let's rapid fire, right? We got 20 minutes. Camels play Harbor at edge. I don't think he has the defensive mentality to do it. I don't agree with people that say that that's what he should have played, because they said the same thing about Jarrell Adams. And I thought Jarrell Adams had a much higher skill set there than a tight end. But if you don't have the mentality, you know, Ethan wants to play David Busey at receiver. I could see that. But yeah, athletically, Cam, though, you're not wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You're not wrong. He was a good edge in high school. Just so was Jarrell. I don't know. Vicari Swain reminded him of Bryce Thompson out of Dutch Fork. Yeah. Bryce was very talented. Very talented guy. Bruin said that's been a big thing on X the last few days about Harbor, claiming he hadn't gotten any better since he was a freshman and has been under development, when the stats literally show that's a lie. Your eyes can show that it's a lie. I know one guy, the guy that kind of went after Deputy Smitty about the Kirby Smart thing. I know he was like running his holster about that, you know? But I mean, I don't see how you can say no. And look,
it's okay. Not his natural position coming into college.
It's okay to be wrong about this too, if you're out there, because nobody explains it well, and I understand.
Right.
If you think that the definition of a five-star player is a guy that's going to play in the first year, then you don't really know the definition of a five-star prospect. Okay. Most of them do. Many of them don't. But a bunch of them that don't end up being really good and getting drafted. It's a long-term projection. That's why I think we need an impact rating. Like, and I use the Jamie Robinson versus Cam Smith thing all the time. Cam Smith, much higher rated. Jamie Robinson, a little lower rated. Robinson's floor was higher. Ergo, he got to play as a true freshman. Cam didn't. But who was drafted higher? At the end, it was Cam Smith. There's bunches of examples like that. I think this school signed so few five stars, though, that it's like, and all of them have been pretty good for, and, you know, some careers have been derailed for one reason or another, but I think that's the expectation. The guy at KSR calls Harbor a DN. Well, you know, when you don't throw the ball, but 14 times, I mean, those guys, yeah, they're not fans of South Carolina. Deputy Smitty said, didn't Muschamp put AJ Turner on defense? Yeah. I was actually thinking about that the other day, Smitty. Like, because AJ did, he moved a corner and then did not play.
Right.
And Muschamp was asked about it at the end. He gave a pretty diplomatic answer. Yes, his last year did not go as well as he had hoped. So, Cam says, mechanically, it just seems like it's hard for Harbor to stop on a dime and make quick in and out cuts at his size. You'd love to see him use his bodies more against DBs as if he were boxing out. Yeah, he's just not that type of guy. You know, you can be effective. I mean, you're just like what I was saying earlier, Cam, about he's much more like this other guy, like Troy Williamson than that.
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. Like, that's the difference between me saying, okay, throw it up there. Nick's down there somewhere, you know, for Lenora.
Yeah, or let's make sure he's
open. Let's throw it up to, you know, Alshon. He's down there somewhere. It's because Nick's going to be wide open down the field if all he's doing is running. And, you know, the difference between Alshon and Sydney is those are prototypical high point the ball wide receivers who will snatch them out of DB's hands if it's a 50-50. Like, that's just not Nick's game right now. That's one of the things that we're hoping he develops into, right, over this offseason, JC? I mean, that's what you kind of want to see in the progression for Harbor is developing more of that natural hands, routes, you know, but nobody's expecting him to turn into Michael Irvin or Jerry Rice over.
No, I mean, it's going to get him all in space. There's guys that can do, I mean, you know, yeah. NFL-wise, there's guys that can do that. There are a lot of great receivers that have that skill set, but then there's others that, you know, they have other strengths.
Right.
Deputy Smitty chimes in. Steven said it's a real thing when he was in trouble. Garcia, F it. Alshon down there somewhere. I'll throw it in his direction. Yeah. Very expensive. Great play. That's a great play.
It worked a lot more than it didn't.
Ethan said Harbor is no Alshon. No, they're completely different receivers.
Mm-hmm.
They're just both big. It's like when people compare KJ Jefferson to Lenore Sellers. The only similarities is they're both big.
They're large. Right.
Yeah. They're both big. Big. Deputy Smitty, I didn't realize how big Isaiah Augustov was. He looked huge at practice. He is a big old guy.
Yeah.
Look, there's been some talk about him behind the scenes too. You can't mention everybody. And I'm a Jawaan Howell homer. You know, and so there's so many options. Craiger tells Smitty to stop trying to type like Kirby Smart.
Stop trying to type like Kirby Smart.
Oh, man.
What's he using, just his index fingers?
Craiger said, people are such Richard heads. Richard, he's a Richard with cheese or a Richard sandwich. My friend Keith Alsop and I used to joke, he's a Richard with, you know, the Cockfather. He's got that southern drawl, right? He's a Richard with cheese. I'm a little low in my register to be him. I don't do a good Keith impersonation, but y'all know his voice. Scott Stapp is the man. Listened to Creed this morning. Ethan did. Yep. T-Far loves the gin blossoms. Yeah. Ghost Flame says it's Tornado Tuesday before Wide Open Wednesday. Too soon? Nah. I mean, look, man, we're all safe. There's no damage to the home. I thought this big tree was going to blow over on the truck. I was like,
dude, great. That tree was bending a little too far.
I know. Comfort, right? They don't have trees like that in South Carolina. It's like a big old Christmas tree, fir something.
Yeah, and the trees that look like that fall over down here, too.
Yeah. Wow. Deputy Smith saw Tracy Lawrence and Clay Walker and Spartanburg a few years back. Legends. Contrell not into the genre of 1990s music, but I overheard one of the coworkers trashing anybody that listens to Nickelback. Are they that bad? Is this how you remind me of who I really am? Oh man. Ethan says Nickelback got hated on for no reason. No Nickelback slander. Cockwheat likes. Here's Craiger's. Now, Craiger's a music guy. He goes from David Allan Coe to Fish to Tool to Fiona Apple. Wow.
Respect. Yeah. Respect. I think my wife has a playlist like that.
Good God Almighty, she does. She's very good. Cockwheat, Jim Blossom's Collective Soul and Wallflowers were all Rock Your Mom. I actually like this. Yeah, of those, Gin Blossoms, Wallflowers played at down on Isle of Palm. Windjammer.
The Windjammer, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like the Wallflowers. I do some karaoke.
Yeah, they're all right. Whatever. Up to three of them, though. I think Collective Soul was probably my favorite.
Of that trio. T-Far says open mic night with JC would be great. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Not that I would be great, but I just love to do it. Deputy Smitty's a concert junkie. I go to all of them. I can. Bruno Mars is by far the best concert to go to. He's on another planet with his shows. Bruno Mars is a talented guy.
You know, I bet that is a good show.
T-Far says Bread is a great band. Jeff says Stunt Double Pops is a great 90s band. Lance says Alice in Chains. Oh, man. Bruin says, JC Okereke at the local Mexican restaurant would hit like crack. Man, I don't even need a Mexican restaurant.
So, yeah, that's right.
Cole Wetzel will be in Columbia the night before the Mississippi State game. Going to be a great weekend. Deputy was in Chicago. Saw him in Chicago. Bruno Mars up here in May. It was so good. Went back for the second show.
Nice.
So that's good. Blah, blah, blah. Red Hot Chili Peppers is who Ethan likes. I'm trying to get to the football because we're running out of time. Somebody, it was Craig, says hookers and blow. I don't know what that means. Got to have bloody. All right, so Bloody Marys and a Cajun filet biscuit. Farce. I don't even know what that is. Oh, the noon game. Cameron's making deer sausage. That's good.
Hey, yeah.
There you go. Like, dude, I'm telling you, I used to hate early games. And if I, like, if I lived in Columbia or Spartanburg, I'd probably hate them too. Just because you got to rush to the stadium. I mean, we went, it was a, Clemson was a noon game, but we were there, but we had to get up, rush in. I mean, it's like early and they get tired. However, now I like them.
That's right. Get it over.
Because I can get, well, I can get up. The watering hole has amazing breakfast, right?
Oh.
And so the wife, so we get up, Phil and I do the tailgate show. I wrap the week at that point work-wise.
Right.
Done. And I could just roll right there, watch a little game day, see Denver, and then you get it out of the way and have the rest of the day to chill. Now, that's here. So, I, you know, but I empathize with everyone else. Bruin hadn't done a noon game in 15 years. Bruin just like that dude he fired today. He's calling up griping about the noon games. T-Far says, was talking with Ethan the other day. 3:30 to 4 kickoffs are my new favorite time. Yeah, Mississippi, I'm coming down from Mississippi State, and I'm glad it's in that time spot. Missouri game was almost perfect that we came to a couple of years
ago. Yeah, that was a good time.
T-Far goes to breakfast at Lizard's Thicket, has enough time to get home, watch late night games. Yeah. Tristan says the government controls the weather. It's. I wish they'd step in and stop the alien simulation at Costco. Ethan says, is Smiley going to be creative like Limbo or boring like Joe D on special teams? Actually, Joe D and Pete Limbo were the same. They just, it worked 1 year under Limbo. Do people remember the 2023 special teams were not, nothing worked? That was Pete Limbo. You guys know that, don't you?
Yeah, that was when Kai, like everybody's questioning whether Kai Kroger was a good punter or not.
But
Carolina is off here or whatever.
Carolina, it's not really this. If you're the special teams coordinator at South Carolina, you know, unlike offense and defense, the head coach is going to encourage you very strongly to be aggressive. So it's just, you know, I knew after that happened in 2022. That may be the best special team season any school has had in college football in 10 years. I mean, when is there ever a season where every trick play works?
It's you never see everything work.
Your punter wins a snaps up how many game win streak over your rock? I mean, you know, the holder catches a touchdown against Notre Dame.
You're arguing against the Ray Guy Award voters.
Yeah, people are up in arms about those morons for the world. Yeah. Unbelievable.
What do you people don't watch football?
Unbelievable. But
Smiley's the biggest question mark for me in my mind on the staff. Like, I feel like we just don't know that much about him. But like you just said, there's certain things that kind of you have to come with.
Yeah. Only thing we've got from his feedback from the NFL is, you know, so we'll see what happens. I mean, I can't say either way about him. I know people speak highly of him, so It's good. Cocky Drew says, are y'all bringing back Gamecock graffiti? When the season starts? I hope so.
Yeah, sure. It might look a little different. I got some ideas on that, but yeah.
Craiger said, I'm the president of the Darius Gray fan club. My wife just sent me a text. She's chicken nuggets and applesauce for lunch. And she's like, I need a milk carton. So I'll be a little kid.
A little half pint.
TD says, Clement said he hadn't seen a freshman as far advanced as Gray in a long time. And he's been doing it a long time. I think he pushes to start. Yeah. If he keeps it up. Now, sometimes freshmen will come out like gangbusters. They hit a lull when the pads come on and stuff. But he is advanced. I mean, he's, when I talked about floor and ceiling earlier, Darius Gray is high floor. But he's already, I mean, he's still got a ceiling. He's, you know, there's still some development, but he's closer than most. Whereas like Neff Jiwa may end up being the top pick in the draft. Right. Like that's his ceiling, but his floor is like, this is a first down.
Yeah, that's right.
TD says, Craig Graham and the Tristan Lewis fan club. All right. Game time depression. Is Matt Fuller RB1 at this point? Yeah, he was coming out of spring. I hadn't heard that's changed. That's, I don't even think there's an at this point, but we'll see. I mean, there's good with all of them. TD Farr says 10 and 2, knock it down. Quantrill says Noah Clark is Dexter Lawrence 2.0. I have tried to avoid that because Dexter Lawrence is one of the greatest freshman, gigantic, deep. Like, okay, so Jordan Davis that played at Georgia, elite player, right? Jordan wasn't anything like Dexter Lawrence when he came out of the group. Mm-hmm. Nothing. Because I remember watching Dexter, it was an early Clemson game. I think they're playing Auburn or somebody. I was like, so you mean to tell me that they got Christian Wilkins and then this dude? My gosh. And because Dexter Lawrence was just crazy. However, Quantrill, there are people in Durham that have, because they're, I think Dexter was from Winston-Salem. So that kind of similar area, or at least part of North Carolina. The comparison's out there. Let's just say that. I'm just personally trying not to use it. TD Farr says, thoughts on Josh Pate having Sellers as the seventh best quarterback in the SEC. Were those SEC quarterback rankings or national quarterback rankings?
I think it was SEC. Hold on. Now, they showed one last year. Well, that's put one up. Hold on, I got to look at that because I saw something that had Sellers on top, but I think that was just like a tease. Pate. Let's see. Yeah, Sellers is the seventh in the SEC. He's got Chambliss, Manning, Mateer, Stockton, Lovett. He literally has a no-name Alabama QB in there at number six and Lenoris Sellers at seven. So this is obviously a hint of some trolling by Mr. Pate. But, yeah, Alabama QB. That's great. That's cute, Josh.
Yeah. So. I don't know what the criteria Josh was using.
Yeah, I haven't listened to the episode, so I'm not entirely sure what where his head's at. So we'll see.
I especially don't agree with the Alabama part of it. I mean, all right. So no. Everybody go. So the quote was, you know, that Kalen DeBoer will maximize it no matter what because he's done it his whole career. Have you gone and looked at Alabama's? Anybody gone and looked at Alabama's depth chart?
I mean,
go look at it.
It's the biggest battle in the SEC for me at QB, right? Like,
I don't care about the QB. I really don't. I think that Phil, like, I honestly think that, and I'll have Phil put this in the chat box for everyone. There's a new site called Too Deep. It's pretty cool. It's like an Our Lads, but easier to use. I looked at it the other day and I'm like, no, that's the wrong. Hold on. Sorry. That's the wrong link. Hold on. Don't wait a minute, Phil.
Don't put that one in.
And I'm like, I don't know, man. It's just, maybe I'm used to seeing like known studs in their depth chart, but I don't know. Like, you got kids from California on that. I don't
know. Yeah.
So anyway, going on, X-Men likes the Gin Blossoms. Why does Nickelback sell out tour after tour? Closet fans. I don't think everybody hates Nickelback. I think what Nickelback is, they're, to a lot of people, they're like the Aerosmith of their time. Hear me out. There are no Aerosmith fans.
I was going to say, every good song of theirs sounds like somebody else
There are no Aerosmith, but they're everyone's second or third favorite band. Like, have you ever met anybody that's like their favorite band is Aerosmith?
I only knew one person who would claim that, and that was my late stepmother. She was a huge Aerosmith fan.
And but was that her favorite? There was no Led Zeppelin. There was no
like it was literally her favorite. It was number one. And she had really great taste in music, but that was like number one for her was Aerosmith. But now, to your point, only person I've ever met like that.
Yeah. Period. There's not a lot of Aerosmith, but they're everybody's second favorite band. It's like, Aerosmith. It's awesome.
Not for me, because my whole thing with Aerosmith is every one of their good songs sounds like somebody else wrote it.
Bobby went to see Collective Soul with Hootie a couple years ago, said it was good. Deputy Smitty loves noon games on the road, home games, 3:30 or 7. I get it. Tri-State loves the late afternoon start when it's daylight first half, sunsets for the second half. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah,
like Quantrell wants to know why college doesn't adapt to the 1 and 4:15 schedule like the NFL, too many teams. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Michael doesn't understand the fair catch kick. I don't have time to explain that to you. because I don't really, I mean, I get it, but I'd have to go through it. But we'll just ask us again sometime, man. It's not that I don't think I'm capable of explaining it to you quickly. So, you know, Mike Shula calling plays was the coach on Waterboy. He takes the left, fakes the right. No, he pretends to fake. I don't know. Luke says the West Coast games at 10 and 15 p.m. Probably. Krager says Aerosmith's a no for him, dog. All right.
That's a no for me, dog.
Doc Graybeard says pre-elevator, baby, Craig. Toys in the Attic is legit. And Big Rooster says Pink Floyd and Depeche Mode are my favorite bands. My wife loves Depeche Mode. I love Pink Floyd. My wife hates Pink Floyd.
Oh,
there are some people that hate Pink Floyd. Like, they're just not. They're not into it.
Well,
I'm comfortable.
You know, some people like music to me is just like, I don't hate on people for hating on a band, right? I have weird tastes too, right? And like Stone Temple Pilots, like you would think somebody of my age and our generation would be like, oh, that's one of the best bands of our generation. I'll give them their due, but I got burned up on that just period. Like, because it got played way too much. And so I'm like, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm done with this. I don't like it.
No kidding. I don't ever, like, people that don't like to listen to us, I never take offense to it. Because everybody's like, what they can hear, like, what they like to listen to is so different.
Yep.
Yeah, it's so different. And I can't hate on somebody for being a unique individual. Right?
Mm-hmm.
The idea when you're in our spot is just hopefully as many people as you can get do like to listen to you. And the ones that don't, they don't hate you. You're just not their bag of their cup of tea. It's like food or anything else. It's like, do you like the garnet uniforms or the black uniforms better? That's a question that will never be answered.
I'm so tired of color talk.
Quantrell said any genre of music made in the 90s is pretty much elite. Yeah, along with movies and everything else.
Yeah, right.
Culture.
We're going to look back here and realize that was the peak of American civilization.
I mean, right now we're trending in that direction.
Again.
Michael says, I don't know how anyone listens to today's hip-hop. My stepson's a Drake fan, and it's like, some of that stuff. Lamont Paris was on with us 2 years ago and said one of the most true statements I've ever heard anybody say. Hip hop peaked in the 90s and it could never possibly get any better. And that's probably correct.
No.
Not that the new stuff isn't good, but or has good stuff every now and then. But then, man, I mean, good Lord, Death Row Records. And it was
I mean, everything. Like it, but yeah. Across the board, everything was the best it has ever been in the 90s, and it has been all downhill from there. And I'm not just saying that because I am
a child of that generation,
right? It's just, it is what it is. Because I could easily look back and be like, well, I mean, I can take an objective viewpoint, and this period of time in American history was the best. No, it's not.
Michael Ray said mumble rap. Yeah, it's like a nah.
Dude, I saw some post by Method Man. I don't know if it is his post, but it's under his name. He was just like clowning all over these new rappers.
I mean, you have a guy as talented as Eminem. Like Eminem, like who you can't really replicate his style.
Right.
I mean, a guy like Eminem, right? And then just, I mean, Mystical. Anybody ever listen to Mystical? Yeah. Good God. I mean, even Lil Wayne, I mean, come on, man. And now you got this, gonna go to my finger. I'm like, how do you listen to that, Cole? It's like playing an answering machine message over and over. Anyway, Quantrill like the gear of the 90s. Oh, man. Deputy Smitty, I'll end it with him because he's coming on with us tomorrow. As I mentioned, in uniforms, I wish we could wear all white at home for a night game. I think it'd be amazing with the white towels. Yeah, that'd be kind of cool.
So like a Carolina whiteout. You know, I don't hate that at all.
I don't hate it at all.
It'd be interesting because, yeah, Williams-Brice would be wild.
I mean, people are going to complain. We've got two primary colors, and you want to wear West to wear white.
Here you are. We think we're Penn State.
Oh, man. All right. Tomorrow, like I said, Deputy Smitty's coming on. Who's on the morning show tomorrow? Smitty. The other Smitty. Matt Smitty.
Matt Smitty. I'm missing somebody. Oh, I think Perry makes his first.
Perry coming back.
Yeah, I think Perry's going to make his first.
Speaking of the 90s, cue up that song, Friends of P.
That's right. Ooh.
So that'll be good. Yeah, so we'll look forward to that conversation tomorrow. We appreciate everybody joining in. Coffee will return tomorrow. Don't forget our sale at thebigspur.com. It doesn't end midnight tonight like we thought. It'll end next. I'm sorry. You said it to the 15th?
16th.
Right? 16th.
Yeah, so through the 15th, but midnight right now on the 16th, it's over.
It's over.
So you get four more days, folks.
It must have been love, but it's over now. All right. See you folks later.